to commend or to be recommended. This is a Greek word that is often translated approved as well. It's important that you fall into that category. It's something you can't do yourself. You just have to kind of earn it by what you do. But it is a Greek word, sunesis, which is to say, it comes from two Greek words. I think we'll just talk about it a minute so that you understand. If we just say you're commended, it kind of falls on English ears. But what it really means is you stand for something. In other words, it comes from two Greek words, sun, which means to stand and to exhibit, and it comes from the prime histemi or the prime style, which means to stand up, to be somebody. But it means to exhibit. And when you exhibit God's Word, it means you're living it, you're breathing it. By that I mean He's in you and you're in Him. It gives you great privilege and power to be commended of God, because you are making that stand, because you are exhibiting. And it means also in the Greek to stand near. You can even call it covenant if you want. Okay? To covenant one with another in His Word. Not ours, not somebody else's, but in God's Word. That's where the difference comes in. You start listening to man and man's ways, the ways of the world. Guess who kind of controls the world? Satan does. Okay? And if you listen to too much of the worldly things, you're going to be in bed with Satan if you're not careful. And boy, are you going to be one miserable wretch. Okay? So you've got to stay in the light and be commended of God. That means action. Most times when God commends you, you see, it's not something He just blesses you because you're so pretty. It's because you're doing something. You're standing. You're making a difference. That means everything to Him. That means you're His servant. You're His child. And when you make a difference in other people's lives, He smiles. He loves it. So we see that the word commend then doesn't just mean He's chosen you out of a large group. You're doing something. Don't ever forget that. It's the secret to being blessed by God. You're not doing anything. And I don't want to put anybody on guilt trips. It could just be that you smile at someone that's down a little bit. Kind of pick them up. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful gift to have that gift of making people feel good. Okay, just because you're there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in you. They can feel it. They can sense it. It makes them feel better because Christ is in you. Not that you're so good, not that you're so hot, but that you have Christ in you. And boy, does that show. That really shows up. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's talk about commending just a little bit, okay? Always bearing in mind the action. The action in commending is to stand, to be union together. It means to introduce, to exhibit, and to stand near, to be of one body, like the many-membered body of Christ in bringing forth His ministry. Chapter 4 of the great book of 2 Corinthians, let's go with it. It reads in verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Because we've got God's love, we're not fainting at every little trouble that comes along. We take names and kick dragons. Okay? We're full of action. We can cut it. We're not wimps. We're can-do type people. All right? That's what a Christian is. Verse 2. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." That's to say the cunning things of dishonesty. Just denounce them. "Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully." What a sin and a shame that is. but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Commending meaning advertising. It's making a stand for the ministry, for Christ, in the sight of all men. And it makes their day. It makes them grow because you have been there. And therefore, God can commend you because you're doing something. It may just be a smile. It may just be a kind word. Okay. God didn't expect everybody to be ministers. But a ministry has many, many people that are a part of that ministry, not just the speaker. It takes the whole body, the whole family. That's why this word, commend, means union, to stand near, to be together, to share in that, and to take that word and spread it. Manifestation of the truth. That means it manifests itself right in your face. And you know truth when you hear it. And God commends you for that, that you take that word. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, if it's veiled to someone, it is hid to them that are lost. In other words, if it shows God's mercy and it's the truth, people that want to find truth are going to see it and understand it. But those that are lost and Satan leads, they're not going to see truth as simple as it is right before their face. Let's read on. 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, should shine unto them. Who is the God of this world? That's Satan, of course. He can blind you to truth if you allow it. He's a con artist. I mean, he will tell you, oh, it'll be all right. Don't listen to a bunch of foolishness. Follow me and have a good time. And unfortunately, his good times come at an awesome price. It's kind of like, what would you take in exchange for your soul? Because you're going to lose it. And unfortunately, you might lose others with it. I'd hate to have to answer for that. Rather than helping people and saving souls, wouldn't you hate to have to answer for condemning some to hell? The God of this world would like to see you do that. He would like to throw that veil, cast it over the truth, the simplicity of it, where that people can't receive it. So that's why that you must have action in being commended, holding together, because we have this ministry. What is it? The Word of God. It's powerful. It's strong. And it conquers. Beware of the God of this world. Don't listen to him or you will have a very difficult and a hard life. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. You want to know what a real preacher preaches? He doesn't preach himself. But Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. In other words, we are his servants because we bring forth and preach Christ. You preach him crucified. When you preach Christ crucified, you preach who crucified him, why they crucified him, and what the purpose of it was. Explaining in detail. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It shows in your eyes. You can see that spirit. The spirit, your eyes mirror the soul. And you can see that spirit of Christ in his own. Those that see that light. You know, there is no darkness in the life of those that walk in that light. Who really would like to live in darkness? That's to say, not know what's happening. To really not know anything, you know why they don't stand for anything. You've got to make a stand. You've got to stand for something, or you stand for nothing. You're just a wimp in the hands of Satan. So you want to be a can-do type person. One that the glory of God, that light emits from him. You know, don't ever forget, he's the light. He's the light. All you do is reflect it. Which means what? You have to have him in you. That is to say, Christ. Before that light comes from you to reflect truth into others as you share it, commending, that is to say, working, exercising, introducing, and bringing the union of the family with the borders larger and larger and larger as that truth spreads and people work. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, that's one of the first steps in being able to work the power of Almighty God against the prince of darkness. And that's to say, to know where your power comes from. That power is dunamis. It's where dynamite comes from. And you exercise that. You become a union to that. That is to say, a part of it. Knowing it's not you. It's the power of God that operates. You know what happens in life when you're in a flesh body, when you've still got this treasure? I'll just be in a rose garden forever. Oh, no, you live in the world, friend. You're here for a purpose. And that purpose you've been commended for. To take forth and to let that light shine that you're reflecting. What happens to you in the flesh, verse 8, we're troubled on every side. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Don't ever let them see you sweat on your first cruise, okay? Big deal. So there's a little trouble out there. Handle it. Take care of it. Do it in Father's name. Okay? You're not a wimp. You're not a poor me baby. You're a child of the living God. And you have that power. He's given it to you to exercise and to let it be known. Verse 9, what else happens to you in this world? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Hey, they'll knock you about a little bit. You bounce back. Why? He that's in you is more powerful than the prince of this world. By far. Okay. So, again, you know, a good Christian doesn't mind a little trouble. Okay, even before breakfast, bring it on. Can-do type people. We can handle it. Okay. Why? Because you're commended of God. You're in action. You take a part. You make a difference. Verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That he rose from the dead from that tomb on that third day and brought salvation to each and every one of us, though you be a sinner on repentance. You become a part of that union. You become a part of that power. You become a part because he died for you, that you could have this treasure in these earthen vessels to carry it forth and let it shine like a light in a dark, dark world. Oh, hey, there's trouble out there. So what? What did you expect from Satan? A lullaby? What kind of person do you think Satan is? He's going to try you, but you are tough. You're a child of God. Bring it on. All right, you can handle it. Why? Because he did die for you and he gave these powers to you that cannot bother you. I'm going to tell you how you can test a Christian. And sometimes people are a little more so than others. But if you have some person, oh dear God, why does this always happen to me? Because he knows you can handle it. That's why. He knows you can shuck it off like a shuck off of corn, tromp on it, take its name, get it out of the way through the power of God. You're a champion. Or you know what you can be if you want to? You can be a follower of the prince of the world. Darkness. Worry. Upset. It's no good, friend. Join the club. It's the club that follows Jesus Christ. And be blessed. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In other words, we are an epistle of His Word, that Christianity is powerful and that it works. And naturally, if you're a true Christian, you know that Christians never die. We simply step into the spiritual body and we're with the Father evermore. Defeating death, defeating the devil, who is death. You want documentation that Satan is death? It's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Okay. And we go with the next verse here, verse 12. For then death worketh in us, but life in you. And naturally, when you're taking forth, you are threatened sometimes. So what? So what? What would you expect from Satan? He's going to give you problems, but you have power over him. 13, we having the spirit of faith. Do you have it? That kind of sets apart those that don't. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. We bring that truth out. Do you know where it's written? It's important that you do. Okay. Because he didn't just repeat it just for nonsense. You'll find it in Psalms 116. Hold your place in 2 Corinthians, but turn with me to Psalms 116. Let's understand what he was talking about, where it's written, and what you can count on. It's your guarantee. When you think you might start sweating on your first cruise, remember this psalm. Psalm 116, and it reads, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Do you know He always does that? They're bottled. He keeps them. He knows what you ask for. He'll answer it in His time, not yours, because He knows what's good for you. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Are you going to do that? You can. He's there for you. That's His promise. He's your Father. And do you know something? It may be hard for you to believe, but He loves you. He truly does. Even with all your shortcomings, He still loves you. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. That means He's full of love. He's always fair. Can you get that from the world? No, you can't. But you can get it from Him. He'll always be fair. And anytime you start doubting Him, you're headed for trouble. The Lord preserveth the simple. That means the guiltless, okay? Those that are sincere. It should be translated sincere. I was brought low, and He helped me. Do you understand that He'll help you? He's talking to you here. This is why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, it's written. You need to understand it. It wasn't just New Testament. It's Old Testament from time immortal. Return into the rest. That means get your confidence up. Your rest is your confidence in yourself and in the Lord. O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. You can have confidence when you know He's dealing with you. You're somebody. You're a child of God, a champion of the people. Not a wimp. a can-do type person. Bring it on. Okay. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. That means stumbling. And to put a stumbling block in somebody's face, don't do it. Okay. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now this is what he quoted, and so listen carefully. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. When you speak, I don't care how much you're afflicted. When you believe and when you speak, he's going to take care of business. Okay. He lets you handle what you can handle, and that's a bunch, I hope. I like to do business with can-do type people. I've traveled in circles where we had real people that kept each other alive. Champions. Warriors. Christian warriors. But you want to realize we're in a war today against Satan. And what you do is important. Don't you dare go to sleep on watch. You keep your eyes open. Keep your ears to the ground. That's why he sent you here. I believe, and it's for that reason I speak. And what does that amount to? Verse 11, listen carefully and learn a lesson. I said in my haste, all men are liars. I'm going to tell you something. This is why it's important that you listen to God. God is not a liar. Men don't necessarily even lie intentionally. But they're not perfect like God is. That's why you want to listen to him. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Question. Well, what can I do for him? Well, let him tell you. Okay. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take that holy communion, which is symbolic, in which he became our Passover, as it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Jesus Christ himself becoming our Passover, our cup. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. We're going to stand united. Precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I mean, if one should be called back home, do you think there isn't a welcoming committee? There certainly is, all right? Lord, truly, I am thy servant. Are you? Think about it. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaiden. Thou hast loosed my bounds. You've set me free. He can set you free today. Don't get hung up in the ways of this world. Defeat it. Be a winner, not a loser. Walk with your head up. Watch where you're stepping. Step carefully. But how do you want to be prepared? Verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Do you know what praise ye the Lord is in Hebrew? A lot of people say it and they're not even aware of it. It's hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Why? Because of what he does for us. So fascinating. That's why Paul would bring you back to this scripture. It is so beautiful. Returning now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. After he said, it is written, you've read it, let's continue. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you all, a family, union, can-do type people. For all things are for your sakes. All the suffering that has been done in the past was for your sakes. Christ's death on the cross, so forth. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It's his plan. It's worthwhile. For which cause we faint not. I don't know what kind of shape are you in. How quick do you faint out? Yeah, it's too hard. I'm going to turn around and go back. Oh, well, don't try to walk with me then, okay? Not if we're in combat, okay? If we walk backwards, we'll go together, okay? We'll do it God's way. So don't, when you have the Father, you can't be one of these fainting types. You're not a wimp, okay? You're a champion of God's people. We faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I mean, you grow stronger and stronger and stronger. Are you familiar with the inward man? That's really you. That's you eternally. That's you even in the hereafter. It is you even in the beginning. For our light affliction, that's what it really amounts to. It's no big deal. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. I don't know, is this your hang up? Looking at things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are not, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's God's hand. That's God's touch. As He leads you and directs you, that's eternal. It's not one of these passing fancies. It's His way and His way of delivery. Paul was one of the greatest scholars that God let walk the earth, as he could quote more languages, and God would utilize him to write most of the New Testament. It becomes clear why. Because he knew, because he had the hand of God upon him. Turn on to chapter 10. This is what you want to be careful of. Chapter 10, same book. We're going to just stay in this book. I like it. Chapter 10, skip to verse 12. Let's read there. For 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend, got it? That's our word, that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Well, who do you compare yourself to then? A servant of God. You are a servant of God. And you always look at Christ. And you look at the Father. What did we read back in Psalms that he wanted you to be aware of? All men are liars. Again, it may not be intentional, but if you've studied ministries down through the years, how many of them have you heard that will plow along pretty good and then just, I mean, they take a turn out across a gully and it's rough bumping. Okay, I mean, they leave the Word of God. And they leave you high and dry. So you stick with God's Word. Not this man or any other man, but the Word of God. Okay, so he said, you want to be careful because some people commend themselves. Yes, I'll be this ministry be John Brown's University of the Hereafter. Well, what happened to Christ? Okay, and I'm not knocking any church, and I just now remember we got a college that's not too far from here. It's a good little college, good little Christian college, I'll hasten to add. But, you know, don't follow man's ministry, follow Christ's ministry. That is so very important. That gets right to the heart of the matter, okay? But don't measure men by what they might say or how they commend themselves. Oh, yes, look what we've done here. You know, because you follow someone that says, look what God has done here. Because God's the one that's doing it. Man could do very little without God's help, without God's touch, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings the family together. So that's how you measure and that's how you commend people. Okay. Verse 12, let's go with 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure. Our measure, not God's. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Always go by God's measure. Okay. Friend, this is such important information for you. In the word commend. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. What are you saying? We were the first ones that came to you preaching the gospel. Not boasting, we didn't come there boasting, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. This is the way Christianity grows. When you accept it and when you live it, you can't help touching other people. It's powerful. It has influence. It sets examples. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. We're not going to do that, and you shouldn't either. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You got that? Give God the credit. Give God the glory. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. That's what separates the would-be's from those that are servants of God. God commends. Why? Well, he's told you over and over, follow my word. Do my word, not men's word. Follow it, and I know you, and I will bless you. Just as he stated in Psalms 116 back there. I will. This is the moment of salvation. I have already secured thee. That means put a guaranteed down payment. It's a legal term in the Greek language. I've got a legal down payment on you. It's already paid and you're going to collect. Okay. So it's God that commends when you follow his word. All right. One more place I want to take you. Let's go all the way back to chapter 3. Let's see. I'm sorry. I want to take you to 6. Okay, chapter 6. Very important. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. Verse 1 reads, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. That, you know what vain means? That means emptiness. That you realize it has a value to it. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. There's that guaranteed word, okay? Made a down payment, just like if you want something, if you're buying it on time, you make a down payment. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He paid the price. It's set there. All you have to do is step forward and claim it. Okay? And live it, of course. Exactly the way he's laid it out if you want to be commended. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. In other words, in fact, protect your credibility. Let God's ministry be God's word, not man's word. But in all things, approving. This is that same Greek word that's translated commended. Okay. Approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. You got that? In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress. Can you handle all that? When you begin to teach Christ, that's what's going to happen. And you got to understand, you know, there are warriors that love a fight. Okay, bring it on. If you can reach into the fire and pull out a lost soul. Now, I'm not speaking literally here. I'm speaking spiritually. Okay, if you can help someone and if you can pull that soul back out of there and make him or her somebody, a child of God, you've done a great thing. That's what it's about. Well, you're going to have a little trouble. So what? What do you think? You know, well, I want to be more like Christ. I want to be more like Jesus. Oh, they crucified him. Is that what you want? Do you think they didn't rough him up? Now, that's not to say the secret to this whole thing is be wiser than the serpent. Okay, don't let him mislead you, trample on you, or bring too much trouble until you nip it in the bud. You put a stop to it. Period. You don't put up with it. You're a Christian and life is too short to have troubles rule you. Handle it. Get it fixed and do it quickly and it's never as painful. Okay? Now, I could really get into this. I really could. Okay? Because life is so wonderful when you let Satan have all the trouble and you just receive the good things. Okay? Verse 5, he continues, in stripes. Paul was beaten a little bit. In imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. I mean, we went hungry for a while. On those long trips, they didn't have a quick trip along the road where you could stop and get a cold drink. Okay, you had to do it God's way, a nice cool stream or something. Okay. We went hungry sometimes, he's saying. But pureness by knowledge, by long suffering, that's patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned. That means not hidden. It's the real thing. Verse 7. By the word of truth. How much this will get you, my friend, the word of truth. That's God's word. By the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, that's justification, on the right hand and on the left. Do you know what this means, on the right hand and on the left? It means you're to be armed with what? Well, in the right hand, you have the sword. And what is a Christian sword? It's the Word of God. It's a two-edged sword. Revelation chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. It cuts both ways. It's wicked when it comes to handling Satan. Then what's in the left? The shield. And what is the shield? It's faith. How much faith do you have? You're either a believer or you're not, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? Because if you have the faith to know God means exactly what he says, you're a dynamo. Okay? You can get it done, friend. And I'll be riding right with you. We'll get her done together. That's what commended, standing together, united, means. Verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. People are going to write all kinds of things about you if you really teach God's word. If you don't believe it, I'll use myself as an example. Plunk up Arnold Murray I don't even work the computer on the internet, but pull it up and see what they say about me. I mean, do you realize I have a harem of 17-night women? Ooh, man, I mean to tell you, but nobody's told me about it. Okay? I don't know about it, but do you understand that according to the internet, I have 7 Learjets? 7. I've never owned a Learjet in my life, okay? Never. But they will say stuff. What? Do I look wounded? Does it bother me? No. If they want to have fun doing that kind of stuff, my people know me well enough to know I don't deal in that kind of stuff, okay? Would I need 7 airplanes? No, just 1, okay, to get it done. And a smaller that operates a little less expensive if you've just got 1 person or you're going by yourself, okay? Common sense always rules. But no Lear jets, all right? Bill Lear was a nice man, but his stuff runs pretty high. Okay, but what I'm trying to tell you, be prepared for it. I kind of consider it a badge of honor, okay? I mean, I must be rattling Satan's cage something terrible for the things they say about me. And I never read it, but I have read a few of them, and I've missed out on a lot of stuff. Really, I have. It just, I'm almost a recluse. I'm not even around people. But according to that internet, and according to those people, I really have a ball. Okay? But don't let something like that bother you. Okay? It shouldn't. God knows. Okay? He knows everything about you. And it's Satan's not the judge. The people on the internet are not the judge. God's the judge. And He knows, and that's all that matters, okay? Just keep plowing and plow deeper than anybody else, and you'll do just fine, okay? So don't get all upset or bent out of shape if somebody... Don't have a thin skin and try to be a Christian, you know, if you're really working at it. Verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, eternally that is, as chastened, that means corrected, and not killed, that means injured sometimes, but not to the death, not as long as God needs you, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Okay. Do you understand how fortunate a Christian is possessing all things? Why? He's your Father and He owns it all. You inherit it, okay? O you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. And in other words, what he's saying is, I love you with all my heart. And don't strain our relationship by thinking, letting people get you down, okay? Handle it. You are strained in us, but you are straightened in your own bowels. In other words, you bring it on yourself. Straightened means you are strained, but you do it to yourself if you allow it. Don't let Satan's work be a burden to you. Okay. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, listen to me closely, this is important, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? This doesn't mean you don't plant seeds to unbelievers. It means you don't fellowship and work with them in the ministry. Try to bring them in and work with them in the ministry until they believe. Okay. You know why? You're going to yoke yourself up to something that's going to, when you get ready to they're going to haul. Okay, that's horse talk. Okay, that means when you want to go one way, they're going to go another. They're going to pull you down. Don't be dumb. Okay, be intelligent. And what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial, with Satan, the Antichrist? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Very little. Okay. Plant a seed, if it grows, fine. If it doesn't, you're on your way. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them. What did he say? I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Are you? He claims you, and you want to be sure you claim Him. Do it His way. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's important, beloved. Be careful what you touch when it comes to religion. Do it God's way. Do it with the Word of God and be blessed by God. Or be unequally yoked and pulled down. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In other words, back to that verse where you were approved. That means accepted, commended, a part of the family. I want to read five more verses real quick back in chapter 3. And then we're going to quit. Chapter 3 of this same book, we're going to read the first five verses, and then we're through. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? This is important, beloved. It's a question. Or need we as others epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? This is like saying, beloved, in this family, do we have to have a letter from you saying I'm a believer? Or would you have to have one from me swearing I was a believer? Can you tell by the way I act, and I can tell by the way you act? Okay. That's the epistle. It's living in flesh. And I don't need your letter. Okay. I mean, as long as you want to write me a letter, fine. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying as an epistle, it's what you do. It's how you act. Verse 2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. It's really alive. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. The real thing. This is why Christianity is not a religion. It's a reality. It's in your life every day if you live it. Is it difficult? No. Do you know something? It's so much simpler than other ways of life. To follow Him. To praise Him. To let Him lead you. He's the boss. You understand? He's the judge. Verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. 5 to complete. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiently is of God. Let yours be also, beloved. Let your sufficiency be of God, that He completes you, that He rounds you out, that you follow Him, that you're commended. And again, a letter of commendation isn't just, it's what you do. It's action on your part. Then God commends you. That's to say He approves you. He covenants you in His overall covenant. Right? Because He wants to be your father. He doesn't want to be, He is. Whether you like it or lump it, your soul belongs to Him. And it's His to do with as He chooses. You know where that's documented? Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. All souls belong to God. You don't get around, well, I'm just going to get around to giving my soul to Him. Sorry, buddy, too late. He's got it, okay? And He's going to do with it what is fair and right. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the written Word. We thank You, Father, for the living epistle of Your family and many-membered family that stand together, that make that commendation in these end times to do Thy work here on earth in these perilous times, Father. We do not whip off. We get it done, Father. Why? Because You lead us, direct us, and protect us. We thank You in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.